Okay, well, officially, good morning, everybody. This is Dave. Can I remind you, please, to give your name before you say things so that we can, the record is understandable. I will also try to speak reasonably slowly, which is difficult for me. First of all, can I ask whether people did manage to get a copy of the agenda and the outline report?
Yes, Cheryl here, yes.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Zahid here, yes, I did.
Good. We seem to have lost people.
They might be muted because of the noisy lines, Dave.
We have Fahd and Olga on mute.
Okay.
And I'm here, but I'm sitting on mute, Paul.
Fine, thanks, Paul. Okay, well, if we then look at, look at the agenda that Rob thankfully put together for us. Can we look at item A, which is the... just to look at the initial report and the feedback that we received, which I hope you've all seen was really just one input, which was advocating the creation of an Arab region, but really wasn't commenting or even the content of the first report. Rob, I think that's a fair comment, is it not?
That's accurate, sir, yes. And you can all choose to interpret the lack of feedback as assent and approval of the direction that the working group is taking, or you can choose to believe it's really at a point yet where folks aren't really focused until they begin to see some real recommendations from the group. I'm not in a position to judge which way that's falling at this point.
Cheryl here, of course it could be both.
That's true.
Indeed it could.
Hello, this is Bart.
Hi, Bart. Good morning.
Morning.
Were you going to make a comment, Bart, or were you just joining us?
I'm just joining.
Okay.
I have time this evening.
We seem to have an intermittently very noisy line, Bart, just to forewarn you.
Mm. I'll go and move
I'm going to interpret it that there were no outlandish comments in our first report, at least. Very strongly we would have heard about it. Have any of you discussed it within your own communities, which is item B on the agenda? Have you had any feedback other than the official feedback, as it were?
Cheryl here, Dave, if you want a response from the ALAC, which Rob could also speak to. Yes, the at-large community ran a briefing call, which Rob and I predominantly wrangled. And I think it's a fair encapsulation to say that they didn't find anything particularly contentious and will watch the space to see if anything excites them to respond in the next version of the reports.
Yes, the one thing I guess I'd add there, Cheryl, and it's something that I CC'd you and Dave on, is I think that call prompted some further interest in the working group activities just generally, and so there was at least one email of someone saying, wow, I'm interested in what you're doing and
yep.
I'd like to find a way to participate, but I sort of left that in your court.
Yeah. That, of course, is a measure that people aren't uninterested. It's just that they haven't, in the first report, got something to get their teeth into, but they're interested in being engaged. Thus my question of, I think it might have been both, not either or.
Right. Olga, anything within the GNSO?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, Olga.
Sorry, can you hear me now, Dave?
Yes, I can. I
was in mute because it seems that my line is generating some noise. We asked to the GNSO if they wanted, we raised the issue of making comments to the document from the GNSO perspective, but we had no responses to that. So we thought that perhaps individually each constituency could make their own, but I think that this was not the case because there was only one comment to the document. I don't know, Saeed, if you have another thing to add to this.
Yeah, hi, this is Zaid. Can I get in the queue?
Sure.
Excellent. From the BC GNSO perspective, Olga's right. We haven't had that much any exciting comments or any queries, etc. I don't know how to interpret that either. I think that there are people watching and they haven't seen anything striking come out of the reports, and probably that's one of the reasons. But the other thing is also, I think there have been so many other things going on with regard to restructuring the OSCE and others that I think many people, at least I can speak for in my own constituency, the BC, have been a little diverted. However, when this was raised in Sydney, it did raise a certain level of interest. So I think that one of the things I have to do definitely as a constituent rep is try to get them more motivated into taking interest into this, bringing more of the information about this report to them. So that's one of the things. And I think maybe other members could also try and attempt to do that. I know that the ALAC has done a very good job of that. So, but I think in the constituency in the CSG, maybe we may have to do some of that. So that's my sort of feedback. And the GNSO, I think we're still waiting to see what the interim report brings out.
I agree with
you. Thank you. Paul, has it come up at all within the ASO?
Look, I have reported back on this result, the progress of this meeting, and the content of the reports and so on, but there hasn't been a lot of feedback, no. I'm sorry to say.
No, that's okay, Paul, thanks. My view from the CCNSO is that I had a chance to give some very brief comments at the last meeting. But really, I think the reaction was pretty much the same as your reporting, that yes, fine, it says what it says, but we're much more interested in subsequent reports when we get into something a bit more meaty. Fine, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So I think I've got to do some more talking about this at the upcoming meeting to get some more feedback from CCNSO. Okay, we seem to be all pretty much on the same place. So we've now got to move on, and I'm looking at the next steps on the agenda. And item A there, the direction for the interim report. I hope most of you have had a copy of the outline report that a lot of the work was done by Rob. So again, I'm grateful, Rob. I've already given you my apologies for the lack of effort I've been able to make of late, but it really has been somewhat difficult to get time. Rob had laid down in that report the suggestion really that we split it into three parts. And if you've had a chance to look at that concept, I'd be grateful for any feedback that you've got. I'm frantically flicking through here trying to look for the three parts, but Rob, perhaps you can help me out here and go through the three that you mentioned.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, I was just making an attempt simply to try to structure things because I recognize that you all have a tremendous amount of flexibility, I think, in terms of the second go-round with respect to the interim report. My general thought was that the first step or important component of the interim report would be to review and confirm the conclusions that you made in the initial report. You know, you essentially reached out to the community for feedback on that, laid out a number of very fundamental foundational points with respect to the research that was done, the application of the geographic regions framework, and that it was important to review that. In some respects, because of what you've all just acknowledged, that there are many in the community who haven't really focused on this yet, so they probably didn't even read the initial report, so it's helpful to restate and confirm where things exist in the initial report and note that there weren't any significant objections, and so you're proceeding along the outlines that you set out in that report. Secondly, and I think you contributed a significant amount of text to the second part, Dave, it was, you know, then saying, all right, if we accept all those foundational elements, and that's the direction that the working group is taking, now let's sort of look at some more fundamental aspects of the background and why the community developed the frameworks as they did, and sort of do some exploration there. And then I think the really critical element of the interim report, which is to move things forward, tee up recommendations and at least the structure for the recommendations that you will be making in the final report, and that is to basically go now and review those various issues, make some of the tough calls as to which ones the working group really wants to focus on, and begin to develop recommendations, obviously not making the recommendations in the interim report, but essentially giving the community the heads up that this is the direction you're going. These are going to be the areas of specific focus, and I think that will engender some significant community dialogue when they begin to see, the working group is beginning to focus in these, you know, 15 or 5 or 20 of the 25 areas that were identified. And so that's what I saw as just a sort of a general approach to this second phase of your work. And as I noted, I think, in my email to you, Dave, in just sharing that based on some of your initial work, you can choose to say, that makes some sense to go in that direction, or, you know, adopt a completely different approach.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. You did indeed make that point. So, you know, no suggestion that you're forcing anything on us. I quite appreciate that. Grateful for the help. Just one point before we start discussing that. I know some of you may feel I have gone on at some length on the history aspect, but I will come back to that a little bit later on, and I quite agree it may need to be pared down. But let's look at the general principles and the shape of the report. Any comments on Rob's proposal?
Hi, this is Zayed. I'd like to get in the queue.
Yeah, Zayed, go ahead.
I think it's a good suggestion. I think what it does do, at least one, the way I'm interpreting the language is, it gives us the ability to, you know, I know we've all been busy, to go back and sort of confirm and review some of the aspects of the first report. So I think that's, if that's what it means, I think it's a fantastic idea. That's one. Two, I think, I'm just sort of dealing with 1.1, 1.2, and 0.3. 2 allows us reviewing the underlying objectives of the geographic. I think we need to sit down and discuss that. I completely agree with that strategy. And the third, you know, identifying areas. So I'm basically in agreement with the way it's being structured. I like the way it's being put out in the report also. You know, it gives a history in part 2, the whole, you know, different periods as well. So I'm in agreement with that. What I just would like to add here is, I think this, the work we're about to start now, and I think maybe we should kick it off, and I think we do intend to do that, in Seoul, will require, I think, all of us really sitting together face-to-face. At least that's my inkling and my thinking about the way this probably has to be done, is to sort of really sort of get to the crux of what it is that we want to deal with, what are the different issues that we want to raise. I think there are a lot of, maybe there are some members, at least me, for instance, who want to understand better how, you know, ICANN does actually deal with geographic, you know, in representation, participation, and others. And I know there's a report out there, but maybe it'll be useful to have a very quick run through at Seoul in our meeting. And I sent out an email earlier saying I think it's necessary also to make sure. I'm sorry about the noise in the background. It's necessary to make sure that we have enough time when we're in Seoul face to face to be able to do that. Maybe more extended time. That's what I'd like to add.
fine. I agree with an awful lot of what you said, and I wonder, are people going to be around later in the week at all, i.e. Thursday or Friday?
Cheryl, here. And I think that a couple of us sort of indicated that on the list. But I'm wondering how much we might be able to leverage input from beyond the representative work group when we have an opportunity such as a face-to-face ICANN meeting. It would be nice to perhaps interact with community beyond our own group, or find a mechanism between the beginning of the meeting and the end where we can have a way of inputting, if we're limited to another small meeting, what we can collect from our communities during that time.
Yes, I mean, what I was hoping for was that we would have a meeting towards the start, where we could discuss many of the issues, could go out to our communities and then perhaps have another meeting towards the end where we could feed back that response and again spend some time, perhaps longer, working out where we were going. I'm always very conscious that that 7 o'clock meeting, we tend to run out of time because people have other things starting usually about 8 o'clock, sometimes earlier.
Yeah, this is Zahid. I completely agree with that, and I have no issue with having a meeting early at 7 o'clock at the same hour, same time as the previous schedules, but we definitely need a second follow-up meeting at the end of the week, because this looks like a very good time and date to do it, because then I can, through constituency, for instance, we can bring back a lot of the feedback from our constituency when we've had a face-to-face meeting with them, even ask them possibly to participate if we can, and I completely agree with Cheryl's view that maybe we should reach out to the broader community when we have the opportunity of the face-to-face meeting.
Rob, what about scheduling? I personally would prefer something either on the Thursday or the Friday, I don't care whether it's during the day or even in the evening, where we can sit down and have some discussions without constantly feeling that we've got to rush and head off to something else.
We can certainly do that, Dave. I mean, the challenge and the reason why we put the Tuesday placeholder in is that it has worked in the past. That's always a matter of shoehorning, and I think you're all right. Later in the week, the schedule seems to free up. You only see some bigger blocks. For example, Thursday morning, the public forum starts at 8 a.m., but there are not a lot of other conflicts there. So I'm sure that we have some good flexibility. The only thing that you all need to be concerned about is potentially when you all are planning on leaving Seoul, but otherwise I don't see that as being a major difficulty at all in terms of getting meeting space. Just a matter of your all schedules and finding the time.
Well, can we very quickly just go around the people on the call and check when they're leaving? This is Dave. I'm not leaving until Saturday morning.
Cheryl, not leaving till Saturday morning, and Gisela runs my life anyway, so she just tells me where to go and what to do and when.
Zahid here, happy to say I'll be there for the board meeting on Friday anyway, so, yeah.
Okay, Fahd here, I'll be leaving Friday late at night, so I'll be there.
Paul here, I expect to be leaving on Friday sometime.
Same, this is Olga. Hello?
Yes.
I'll be there on Friday, so I'm available for meetings.
Anybody, we haven't got an answer?
Well, we need to check with Carlton.
Yeah.
And Giannis.
And with Giannis.
Giannis.
However, it seems as if we'll have a fair number there. So can I ask you, Rob, can you speak with the powers that be and see what we can schedule?
Sure, and then Gisela and I can collaborate on a doodle scheduling poll to offer you guys a number of options. And just with the folks on the call, I heard both voices for early in the morning or later in the evening. I think that's great. There's also, the sense of potentially doing something during the day. but I know that there are a number of things happening, certainly on Thursday, where there's, you know, interest of community-wide participation, like the DNS Abuse Forum, the public forum. So if you'd like, we can target potential scheduling on Thursday and Friday, or just focus on Friday. We'll talk with the folks from the meeting staff. After this call, as we produce the actions report, we'll just flag for Carlton and Giannis and Adiel as well that they provide some initial feedback in terms of if they're still going to be in town that week, and if so, their preference for a day.
Rob, Cheryl here, just with that, and as I say, Giesler actually runs my life when it comes to meetings anyway, because things are shoehorned in, usually from about 6 a.m. till midnight, and I can assure you that on Thursday mornings and outside of those in the middle of the day, I'm already fully booked. So as much as I'd love to say that I won't be going to our board breakfast to come to a breakfast-type meeting again on the Thursday, I will be at the board breakfast, not at a GeoWork one. So something during the Thursday day or Friday day is going to work far more effectively from my perspective anyway. And I would suspect Carlton's.
This is Zahid. Can I step in? Yeah? Oh, okay. I guess so. What I was thinking was, I completely agree with Cheryl. Having a early morning on a Thursday would also be difficult. I think there are, and other days, early breakfast meetings tend to usually clash with things that are happening or being scheduled at the last minute while we're there. So I would also recommend something either later in the day or something else, even on Friday. It would be perfectly fine with me. Just wanted to add that. Thanks. Or possibly even two meetings, one early in the week and one later in the week.
Yeah, I'm assuming we're going to stick with the scheduled one. It's Tuesday morning, is it, Rob?
That's correct, Tuesday at 7.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that we stick with that, and this is an additional meeting later in the week.
Yeah, that works fine. This is I. That works fine.
Okay. All right, out of that, I think we have got so far some people happy with the format. I haven't had anybody come out against the format. So if we have any counter-arguments at the moment or counter-suggestions, can we have them now, please? Stony silence.
No, that was amicable silence. That's how I interpret
it. Okay. So we've got a general format that we appear to be all agreed at with. We have agreed that we need to talk more in Seoul. That's good. Okay, let's go back to where we are then. Fine, we can talk early on in Seoul, but the more we have had thoughts about the direction we're going and perhaps doing more work before Seoul, the better off we will be. One of the suggestions that Rob had made, and indeed we had Rob and I had discussed earlier, was whether it would be worthwhile breaking up into one or two or more groups to look at particular aspects of the report that perhaps we could then subsequently pull together. Again, comments are welcome.
You're getting
silent
from me,
though,
because I think I've got an indoor flood happening, so I'm distracted. Oh, it's all right. No. Okay, fine. I'm back again.
Okay.
Hi, this is Zahid. Right. Can I respond
yeah.
to that?
Yeah, please.
My experience has been, I think, that these are all interrelated aspects, and maybe I'm not so aware of the various issues that we might be discussing here, but my feeling is it's better to go in a group. We're small enough as it is, and at least initially we should pan out stuff as one holistic group. That's my suggestion. And then later on, if we feel that, you know, we're comfortable with this, we can break up into smaller groups. But I'm not attracted by the idea initially. I think
yeah.
it's too early. Yeah, thank you.
I think that may be fair comment, because we haven't had an opportunity either to look at a complete outline or indeed to discuss it in any depth. And with so coming down the line, 3 weeks, is that all?
Yep.
Perhaps it's something we, if necessary, we can plan at the second meeting at Seoul, sort of a takeaway from Seoul. Okay. Let me talk a little bit. This is not strictly on the agenda. A little bit about my thoughts and some of the sort of semi-problems I feel I've encountered in trying to put some pen to paper on some of these issues. I keep finding that almost my biggest problem is that I repeatedly want to dash off into writing solutions rather than identifying the problems. And I'm finding that quite difficult. And I'm not sure how to make that easier. Let me give you a sort of example. I put together this history bit as far as it has gone so far. And one of the reasons I took some time to do that was to get a real or attempt to understand how we got to where we are now. Because I think a lot of it has not been so much by design as almost by accident. And I think that's part of the problem. In our first go-through, in the first report, we identified different uses that regions were being put to. And even where we talked about, I can't remember the words we exactly used, but for elections, even within that, there are different sidetracks. For example, with the ICANN board, it's not about constituencies as such at all. In the main, it's about general makeup of the board, and that's where we came from. It was, you look at the overall board, and you make sure that there is good geographic distribution amongst the members of the board. You go to the other extreme, where I would point at my own organization, CCNSO, and you're actually using the regions to define an elections constituency, which is something quite different, though it's still part of the overall representational classification, if you like. And I think at some point during the development of both ICANN and the bylaws, people have said, okay, we've got this new organization coming online, be it the CCNSO or be it ALAC, and we know we want geographical diversity, and we've already got this thing called regions, let's grab hold of that and apply it to what we're doing here. And sometimes it has worked and sometimes it hasn't worked. So that's one reason why I'm looking at the history. I've also gone back, and it appears very clear to me that at the time of the green paper and the white paper, etc., regions and the makeup of regions were seen quite clearly as being something that was dynamic and should change or was expected to change as the internet and participation in the internet changed. Of course, it hasn't. Since the green paper, there has been no change in the definition of the regions, or generally speaking, in the makeup of the regions. It's been frozen in time. And I don't think that was the original intent. It may not be wrong, don't get me, I'm not saying that, but it's not following, I don't think, the original intention. So I've been trying to document that as an aid to really where we're moving to. I think we have all agreed right from the very outset that the principles of geographic diversity is a good thing. We've looked at, I think briefly the and I've forgotten the you know, the ICANN goals, which took it further than just geographic diversity. It was geographic and cultural diversity, lots of other words. And I personally don't feel that the region's thing does much more than look at the geographic diversity. I don't think it looks at the cultural diversity. So there are a whole lot of issues there that I hope will lead us to some key issues that we can look at. For example, I think we can even look at the fundamental question of why are we using regions at all for this function or that function? Is there something better? Or is there even a need in some areas? And that's the kind of questioning I would like to get onto. And as people have said, I think this is probably done better face-to-face. So I'm quite looking forward to debates that we can have at SOHL. I've rambled on. Would anybody like to comment and contribute? Back to a stunned silence again.
Hi, this is Ayat. Can I step in?
Please do.
Oh, I agree with everything that you've said so far. I'm in agreement with that. But I decided to break the silence, nonetheless, and just to sort of say yes. And I think it's important that we, in our face-to-face discussion, consider what are the objectives. I mean, why is it that regions are important, lay down some principles as to that, and then move forward and say, all right, well, if this is, you know, these are the reasons why regions are important, you know, to what extent should they be important in representation, participation, and other in operational issues. And I think that's sort of a very logical way to go forward, rather than just sort of say, well, yes, we must have regional diversity, but we should actually know why we want to have regional diversity and what are the criteria for it. So I agree with you completely.
Thank you.
Hi, David, is back. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I mean, because I was... I think what you just said reflects, what Jan has raised during, I think, one of the first face-to-face meetings, that there was, and this is underlying the categorization we used as well, it is more looking into the functions of geographic regions than something else. So why do we have general, why is there a need for functional regions, and what role does it play in order to have a more overarching goal? And it's maybe a good thing to discuss the more overarching goals and the and from that derive the functions of geographic regions, and then have a look at how it's implemented and how it could be implemented.
Absolutely. You say just what I was trying to say, Bart, as ever.
I'll go back on mute now.
And somehow the concept of Bart being on mute for any length of time just doesn't really work for me. One question that raised itself while I was listening then was, I wonder if it would be useful for us, be delightful to perhaps be able to do it before SOHL, but if not at SOHL, perhaps as was suggested during Constituency Day, to do a little temperature taking with our communities, where some of our communities are more or less dependent for a variety of things and different outcomes, depending on the geographic regional structure that we have been created in the case of the large advisory committee, which is highly linked to the ICANN geographical region. The change of that has significant effects on us and how we function, right down to how large we are, and everything else that follows from that. But also, perhaps each of the communities uses or doesn't use, wishes or doesn't wish to use the geographic regions for various outcomes. We've done a good job so far, I think, and I think the community's lack of responses is telling us that, you know, they don't see that we haven't done a good job of identifying what the uses are at the moment. Can we not do a five or six, you know, stage, do you have a short survey format or something we can put together, perhaps, Rob, where we ask the community what uses they see value in to their part of the ICANN community in the use of the georegions or not. I'm talking real short survey. Is it of use, yes or no, to your community? Does it benefit or not, yes or no? If it does, how? If it doesn't, how not? What would you like it to do? What wouldn't you like it to do? Identify three problems if you can. Yeah, that level of stuff.
We'd certainly pull something like that together, Cheryl.
Well, Rob, I'd be happy to play and see what we can do there. And I know it's not going to be a fully analysable, statistically relevant study, but it might be an interesting temperature-taking exercise.
Hi, this is Zahid, and I completely agree with that. I think it's a great way to start and to get interest moving, in at least in my constituency and maybe even in the GNSO more.
Fine. My only slight reservation is, will people know what we're talking about, if you see what I mean?
Well, I've done...
The trouble with short surveys is that you're not giving background.
You know, it's up to each of us. That's the whole concept of having leads in a cross-community work group. It's our job to make sure they do know what we're talking about.
Fine. Point taken. I think it's a good idea.
All right, Rob, I guess we need to do some drafting.
Cheryl?
Mm-hmm?
Do you want to do it prior to the SIL meeting or make people aware during the SIL meeting it's coming? So you could even do it...
But, look, you know, in a perfect world, I'd love to say do it before, but in a reality check, staff are run off their feet, aren't you? Between now and SIL.
Yeah.
I do have this fear of having total burnout occurring at the beginning or during ICANN meetings, and I'd prefer to avoid that if possible.
No, there is another reason. Say, if I think, and that's touch upon Dave's concern as well. If we would send, or this working group would send a survey right now without a introduction to it, then people would go, say the responsiveness on that survey would be minimum.
It's the sort of thing that it can be done almost as a pre-test straw poll at the face-to-face meetings led by each of us, if the opportunity is offered to us, depending on how much we control and how much input we have to our constituency or community agendas. But I for one would like to see that my community would go, oh right, okay, well, you know, 24 of us have had a say on this, now we're going to take this and find out what the many, many thousands that we represent think about it too. So it would be a first step of an output that will prep the community for being more reactive and interactive with the comments when we put out the interim and then, of course, the final report.
Hi, this is Zahid.
Yes, hi.
Yeah, I think that's just a question about timing. It would be nice if we sort of be able to have input into what the questions are going to be. If we can have some decision on what the questions are going to be within the group, at least before the Tuesday, I can at least use the Tuesday to do the cross constituency and the constituency sort of a presentation, etc., and talk about, you know, what these questions are, and could people within the next hour or so think respond. So if we could do it before that would be fantastic. So we can get
from my perspective, Cheryl here, I'm even more selfish than that. I'd want my community discussing it in our one-day workshop on the Sunday.
Well, that would be great.
Excellent.
So if you can come up with some draft prior to so that would be wonderful, and then we can all use it throughout this whole week.
Mhm. Okay, Rob, you and I have got a date.
Yeah, my goal would be to pull that together this week so that... You know, then, Cheryl, you'd have a chance to look at it. We could share it with the broader group of working group members,
mm-hmm.
so you all would have your own week to sort of look it over and contribute feedback back to that.
Okay. We shall be Skyping or interacting in a virtual environment then.
That's great. Thanks for that, Cheryl. That sounds excellent.
It's all right. right. It's just you all aren't on Google Wave yet, you see. Once that becomes the standard behaviour of interaction, then we won't have these problems.
We will always have time problems. That's what we will have. Okay, I'm going to move on at this stage then to look at, because Rob is always concerned about preparation and publication cycle for the interim report. I mean, I think we have already come to some conclusions on that, Rob. I mean, we are looking for a real working session at SOAR, both for ourselves and for interaction with our community, our respective communities. We are not going to be in a position to put together a final draft until significantly after SOAR would be my comment. And I think everybody would agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, the general, I think, silent consent. So,
can I ask what do you mean by significantly after SOAR, though?
Oh, 3 days?
After SOAR, yes, but how significant is it? How much after SOAR?
Well, right, and that's why I was going to go back to Rob, who's our timekeeper as much as anything else. Looking at the calendar, we're getting close, for example, to almost Christmas time by the time we come back from SOAR. I'm sure the shops will be saying it's so many days to Christmas. Are we going to get this done and a report out pre-Christmas?
There is another question as well, is whether you want to use the face-to-face meetings to discuss, say, the interim report or not. If you go back to the charter and the whole timetable in the charter, that was structured around the face-to-face meetings in order to get as much feedback as possible. So in that case, say if you say and I think there are very practical and other reasons why we can't make an interim report before the SOAR meeting, you're looking more at the Nairobi meeting to have it, say, as part of the public comment period.
I think having a public comment period, Cheryl here, sorry for the transcription, having a public comment period that encompasses a face-to-face meeting is hugely valuable. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
This is Rob, and so that, from a practical standpoint, what it does, and certainly based on the discussions you've been having, is simply move forward your charter timetable by one ICANN meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of concluding or having a final report in the early 2010 time frame, the February time frame for the Nairobi meeting, you would be looking at moving that out to the next meeting in Europe. So I guess my sense there is you've discussed practically and given the actions that you're discussing, from a practical standpoint, we'll be moving forward from that perspective. I guess then what I would be asking for is confirmation so that I can be drafting something up for Dave that would communicate back to the board the heads up that the charter timetable will be moving out by one ICANN meeting.
Yeah. I think that is the only realistic conclusion that we can come to. Having said that, it would be nice to get the next report out for public consultation significantly before the Nairobi meeting, so there are ample time rather than we are rushing it at the last minute.
Cheryl here, especially because I assume something as important as the final report is going to come out in multi languages. My community would very much appreciate it in at least the 5 UN languages, and that all takes time.
Yes, yeah. This is Rob again, and certainly we did that with the initial report. I think it was a very useful exercise, and we'll just continue to do that at every phase of this working group's efforts.
Yeah, but Rob, you know how much time it takes, and you know how much bottlenecking happens before meetings when all sorts of policy things are, you know, coming out and trying to be hopefully translated. So, you know, I think sooner rather than later it would be the ideal.
Yes, in fact, what I will do, this is Rob again, is draft up a new timetable based on the discussions that you guys have had at this meeting, and circulate that to Dave as the, in his chair capacity. Then he can provide that all to all of you. And one of the significant components that certainly I would recommend based on our experience with the initial report is perhaps expanding the minimal duration of the comment period from 35 days, maybe moving that out to 45 days. If you're now looking at the Europe meeting, that might work better.
Rob, I could pretty well assure you that the At-Large Advisory Committee would exercise its right to call for that, if you so desired, yes.
Well, and I think it would be helpful to get feedback from you and others, Cheryl, whether that time period should be 45 days or longer. And then based on that, I think, you know, working with Bart and Dave, I could come up with a good draft of a future timeline that would, you know, provide ample opportunity for public input.
Cheryl, this is Bart again, so I understand. How much time would you normally need, say, if you have a face-to-face meeting and to provide comments on a report?
Once we have it in any particular given language, we can do it, if it's very complex, 45 works just by the skin of its teeth. If it's not particularly complex, it certainly can run a 30. The main thing is we do community briefing calls. Now, they take usually about 14 days out of the 30 just to brief the leaders and the people that are involved, and then our regions meet in a monthly cycle, which is why 45 works and 30 doesn't.
Okay.
For serious things. And to go out beyond that, it can be quite advantageous, which is why we've been asking, and we'll continue to ask, for sort of preemptive information so we can be briefing and communicating issues in terms of preparatory conversation with the community, which is why the public, the community call we did with Rob on the report that's already been done by this work group was so useful. And Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we had sort of, you know, more than 20 but under 30 people on three language channels that day, so that's, you know, serious output. And each of those then go out to their five regions, and it takes 30 days for them to have their monthly meetings. Some meet, Asia-Pacific meets at the very end of the month. North America is the first cab off the rank and meets in the either the end of the first or the beginning of the second week of the month. So that's why the 45 works better than the 30.
Yeah, no. It was just say if we're going, or if the working group is going to expand the public comment period, is say it's more a question when do you want to have it published? If you have it published 40 days in advance over the face-to-face meeting and 5 days for public comment, that is after the public after the Nairobi meeting. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. That was.
Yeah. Well, that's where we need to look at the time.
If you can, or maybe Nick has it, or somebody else from ALEC support staff, the say the schedule, then we can take this into consideration. Rob can take it into consideration.
I'm sure Gisela's already typing away in her Skype world on the 24/7 chat space. Alerting the staff to this as we're speaking.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I will take that as a to-do out of this meeting to collaborate with my colleagues and the policy staff and come up with a timetable that I'll talk with you about, Dave, and then we'll circulate that to the broader group that factors in a moving forward the charter of the group to the Europe meeting in mid-2010 for the final report.
Yeah.
And I think with everything else going on with both IDN, GTLDs and some of the other work that's happening, I think that there will not be any complaints from the community for that additional time to think about this.
Yep.
Rob, if
Thanks, Rob.
We make sure, Sir Cheryl here again, if, again, being totally selfish from my community's perspective, but that, after all, is why I'm here, if you can ensure that, that Heidi's also part of that timetabling, because her role in terms of support, she's very much part of ensuring that the monthly agendas with each of the regions populated in advance with preparatory stuff, so that when it comes to public comment calls coming out from the ICANN site, that we're not starting from a non-prepared state, especially from Africa and the Latin America and Caribbean region's point of view. So she can actually take two meeting cycles, one in preparation and then the second one to get the feedback from the ALSs. So the more that that she's involved in looking at that scheduling, the better from my perspective anyway.
Certainly, sure, I'll do that. I'm traveling to Los Angeles this week, so I'll meet with her in person and talk about that.
Brilliant. Thanks.
And Dave, do you think that that works for you in the CCNSO and Paul for you on the ASO side?
Yeah, that should work.
Yep, good for me.
I'm a little bit
okay,
closer
thanks,
to the
Rob.
GNSO. Yes, certainly. I'm a little bit closer to the GNSO world, so I think that I don't want to speak for Zahid or Olga on that, but I think that that works out with the GNSO. But I was asking you guys just because I'm not as familiar with that part of the community.
Good. Okay. I'm conscious of the time as ever, so I'm going to draw things to a close unless we have any other business. I will add that I'm going to continue working on the draft and will circulate things out to you, hopefully, in the days between now and so. I feel the more that's actually on paper that we can discuss, it helps concentrate the mind. I'm not suggesting that mine is the right answer, but if there's something on the ground, it's easier to discuss.
Dave, this is Olga.
Yes, Olga.
Could we summarize our next steps? Just because I was somehow lost with that date definition, and I really I would like to have clear in my mind which are our next steps.
Sure.
Dave, would you like me to summarize, or are you...
That would be fine. By all means, go ahead, Rob.
Thank you. In terms of decisions that have been made at this meeting and sort of next steps, first, the working group members have generally approved the format going forward for what the interim report structure will look like. Secondly, working group members have asked to have staff schedule a second meeting in Seoul to take place on Thursday or Friday. And I'm going to take the laboring oar on that, and I'm going to schedule a two-hour block, and then you guys can, if you want to meet for a shorter period of time, that's great, but we'll shoot for a two-hour block on Thursday or Friday of Seoul meeting week. Prior to Seoul, and it will happen from a staff perspective this week, we'll be drafting up a survey document that will be used as a temperature check from the community, basically asking some general questions about the value of the geographic regions framework for community members going forward. The working group members on this call have agreed moving forward to push the charter schedule of publications out to achieving a final report at the European ICANN meeting in mid-2010, so that the effect of that will be that the discussions, further discussions on the preparation of the interim report will take place in Seoul, and then a publication schedule will be determined in Seoul looking at completing the interim report before the end of the year. And, you know, we'll put out a draft publication schedule that you can all agree to there. I think those are the major highlights. So in terms of short-term, Olga, I'll be working on getting the meeting scheduled, the draft survey, and collaborate with Cheryl on that, and following up with all of you about the schedule for Seoul.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I would add to that. This is Dave. I will try and add to the skeleton report and circulate that before. So I'm doing that not to force my ideas on anybody, but just to give us something to discuss. If anybody else wants to make any contributions to that report, feel absolutely free to email or circulate to us all. Okay, people, any other business? There being no other business, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, one and all.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Rob? Have a good day.
Rob, can you hang on for a moment, please?
Certainly.
Thank you, dear.
Okay, bye, folks.
Two questions. When you say this week, when are you actually getting into Marina Del Rey? Because that gives a your afternoon is my morning time, where we could tete-a-tete with this towards the end of the week.
Oh, great. Yeah, that would be great. I am traveling tomorrow evening, so I'll be getting in late Tuesday evening Pacific Coast time.
Okay, so on sort of your Wednesday in MDR, we might be able to start sort of bludgeoning some of this into some sort of outcome.
Yeah, I would hope to have something when, you know, during my plane ride, working on something then.
Hey, I assumed you'd already have the draft done by the time you landed. Come on.
Yeah, so that'd be great, and maybe I can wrangle Heidi into.
Yeah, I can see you sitting at the side of Heidi's desk, and us just sort of, you know, beating it about the head until we're relatively happy with it. The other question was, do you have a Gmail address? If you don't, would you care to get one? Seeing as I have 7 invitations I can give to people to play with the very advanced copy, which is very, very beta of Google Wave.
That would be great. If you just send it to me at robhogarth@gmail.com.
Okay, so all one word.
Yes.
Okie dokie, that's fine. It's just when I only have 7, I've invited Avery.
I'm honored to.
I might invite Ken. And I'd like some of the at-large staff to play. I want to be very, very, you know, very, very fussy about who I share with at the moment, seeing as it's very, 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 very beta.
I'm honored to be a part of that august group.
Well, you know, anything that makes collaboration on policy development better in the future has got to be a good thing, and I figured you'd have a vested interest in that.
Yes, I am.
All right, I'll put you in my list, and then it's up to Google to accept you.
Okay, great, and I'll follow up with Heidi and have her take the laboring oar on, you know, figuring out what's a good time on Wednesday for her to chat with us.
That'd be fun. Okay, thanks, Rob. Travel safe.
Great, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.